The Holy Gospel is recorded in Luke, the 18th chapter. And then Jesus told them a parable about their need to pray always and not to lose heart. He said, "In a certain city, there was a judge who neither feared God nor had respect for people. In that city, there was a widow who kept coming to him and saying, 'Grant me justice against my opponent.' For a while, he refused. But later, he said to himself, 'Though I have no fear of God and no respect for anyone, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I'll grant her justice so that she may not wear me out by continually coming.' And the Lord said, 'Listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them. And yet, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?" The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Please be seated.
Come gather around, people, wherever you roam, and admit that the waters around you have grown, and accept it that soon you'll be drenched to the bone. If your time to you is worth saving, then you better start swimming or you'll sink like a stone. For the times, they are a-changing.
Anybody remember that song? Old enough, yeah. Bob Dylan, who just this last week, for the first time in its 115 years, as a musician, won the Nobel Prize, Peace Prize for Literature. Incredible, huh? You notice those memorable lines, "The times, they are a-changin'," sung proudly, defiantly even at that time, because the society of our parents was being torn apart in the 60s by the assassination of President Kennedy, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Senator Robert Kennedy, and shortly followed by the chaos of Vietnam, Watergate, and this general disillusionment with government as a solution of any kind. And in that time, remember, we wondered, some of us, then, if the United States of America and its stated vision of liberty and justice for all would last much longer. But through it all, Dylan sang his prophetic biblical message to face the truth, to live in hope, because God is doing something. And the conflict and change we see now, especially the divisiveness and the tenor of this election year, it's nothing new. We should not be surprised. And at the start of Advent, at the end of November this year, in a few weeks, we're going to hear Jesus remind us. He says, yes, you're going to hear wars and rumors of wars, even war being fought with social media to hack and steal information and to recruit and train ISIS warriors across the world. But see that you are not alarmed, for this must take place, but the time, the end is not yet. Yes, Jesus says to us, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. And yes, there will be famines and earthquakes. All this is but the beginning of the birth pangs. In effect, Jesus says to us, don't allow yourselves to get fearful or obsessed or distracted from your primary mission as my followers with what you hear from CNN or MSNBC or Fox News or Huffington Post, whatever news you're listening to, because my kingdom is not of this world. Remember that. And proof of that? Well, guess what? Several empires have risen and fallen in the last 2,000 years. The Roman Empire, the Ottoman Empire, even the British Empire has faded, right? And through all those empires, here is the church, the body of Christ in this world, still here, obeying God's call to the best of our ability, with all of our ups and downs, proclaiming the kingdom of God values that are often at odds with the kingdoms of this world, aren't they? A world where Jesus assumes, yes, there are always going to be corrupt judges and officials, but a world to which we're called nonetheless to work for justice for the widow and the orphan and the poor. That's our call from Deuteronomy, even Exodus, forward in the Bible. Or as a friend of mine likes to say it, to work for justice for the least, the lost, and the left behind. Well, that makes this gospel reading, persistent in prayer, all the more important. In an effort to encourage his followers to pray persistently and not lose heart, Jesus tells us this another parable. And I'm going to need your help, Zach. This one's died. Thank you. This one about this defenseless widow who comes to a corrupt judge who has no respect for the rule of law, begging for justice against her opponent, and he brushes her off, but time and again, she persists in coming back, even pursuing him after office hours, you know, demanding justice until finally he gives justice just to get her off his back. And Jesus says to we who are to be like her, praying for justice and demanding justice, except not just for ourselves, but for the least, the lost, and the left behind. And that persistence of the followers of Christ has made its mark various times over this past 2,000 years as empires have risen and fallen. Do you know what this picture is from? That's right, the fall of the wall in Berlin. And you know, that fall happened on November 9th, 1989, and with the fall of it, the fall of the communist regime in East Germany and the reunification of East and West Germany over the 40 years of oppression. And what led to this historic event may surprise you, because back in 1982, 7 years before this event, Pastor Christian Führer, interesting name, huh? was the pastor of St. Nicholas Church in Leipzig in East Germany. And I guess the group is going to go to Leipzig, right? This will be interesting to see more current history, not just Martin Luther history in Leipzig. He initiated this Monday night prayer meeting in the sanctuary to pray for peace every week. For a long time, fewer than a dozen people came, some of the women of the church that kept it rolling, kind of. And as you know, the atheistic government of East Germany discouraged religious gatherings, but this weekly Monday prayer meeting kept happening week after week, year after year. And in 1985, word was starting to get around about this prayer meeting, and people became, as they became more disillusioned with this oppressive regime, in 1985, the pastor put out an open to all sign on the outside of the church building, open to all, putting the church at risk, by the way, of getting shut down by the government. But then attendance started soaring as people came together to pray for peace. Young people and older people gathered, seeking refuge in the church, joining in prayer for peace. By May of 1989, the government decided that was enough of this. They decided they were going to act. So they put up barricades all around the church building to keep people away. And guess what? Had the opposite effect. People flocked all the more to the church. Word kept spreading until there were Monday prayer meetings all over East Germany. And then things came to a head on October 7th, 1989. It was the 40th anniversary of the East German, quote, Democratic Republic. Kind of a joke, huh? On that night, there were crowds surrounding the church because there were 8,000 people inside the church. 8,000, can you imagine? And people were packing the streets inside the barricades. Hundreds were beaten and arrested. So finally, the pastor led the worshiping peaceful folks out into the street to join the protest. And he described the scene later. He said, as members of the prayer meeting went outside, there was this tremendous tension. We felt a bloodbath like Tiananmen Square that had happened just a few months before was going to happen right here in Leipzig. But they marched with candles and shouts of no violence, all the way past the police station and back to the church. Hospitals that night, turns out, had planned for a bloodbath by having twice as many staff on hand. Instead, thousands of helmeted riot police that had been sent there by the government let them pass. The dam had burst, and a week later, October 16th, 120,000 marchers filled the streets in Leipzig and then elsewhere across all of East Germany. And 2 days later, Erich Honecker, the Chancellor of Communist East Germany, resigned. A month later, the wall, without any further violence, came down, just right here like this. And in a later interview, some of the former communist officials in Leipzig said this: "We were ready for anything except candles and prayer." Got it? And in 2009, just before his retirement, Pastor Fuhrer concluded in a BBC interview, "Prayer achieved what violence could not." Well, Jesus said to them, and he says to us, "Will not God grant justice to his chosen ones who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long in helping them? I tell you, he will quickly grant justice to them all, even when it doesn't seem quick to us." Remember what happened in South Africa when apartheid came down as a result of persistence in prayer there? And the Lutheran Church was very much at the center of this, by the way. And remember the Christian model they used to deal with criminals there? As long as they confessed their crimes, they were forgiven and released, especially and including President Botha, shown here with the new president of South Africa, Nelson Mandela, at that time. Now, could you say that the German government and the South African government are pure and unadulterated, free of all corruption as a result? Obviously not. They're still a part of the kingdoms of this world, see, as is our political system here in the United States. Now, it could be a lot worse. Aren't you glad you live here, where there's freedom of expression, freedom of religion, freedom of assembly? But it's made clear that when people of faith pray and move with Christ, whose kingdom is not of this world, things happen. Justice comes, as it did for the persistent widow. So, in the midst of this crazy and divisive election, remember, our job as followers of Jesus is not to fix governments. And remember, there's no such thing as a Christian nation in this world, but to pray and work for peace, like the peace prayer meetings at St. Nicholas Church in Leipzig, to overcome oppression and injustice wherever it's found. And to recognize there's going to be resistance to our peaceful way of challenging injustice. And still, Jesus commands us to pray persistently. Maybe you've seen this bumper sticker. There's one called "Push." Pray until something happens. Push. Or this one: "No justice, no peace. No justice, no peace." But be assured of this. This is very clear. The true judge, the just judge, is coming again. He'll come to judge the living and the dead. And how will he judge? With mercy, grace, peace, and love. And what a great day it's going to be when we're all called before the throne of grace, before the King and Judge of all creation, and are being held to account, find ourselves, every one of us, not condemned, but forgiven for all of eternity, freed forever to live in God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Well, that's what many of our social justice ministries here at Lord of Life are about. Part of our prayer is to put things right in God's world, like our Hands of Faith Justice Ministry, working to provide this level playing field for artisans and farmers around the world, huh? Including members of our own Philadelphia church in Lima, Peru. Small things to us, maybe a little necklace or a scarf, but huge for those who live on much less than we do in this country, even the poorest among us. So yes, Jesus says, pray with persistence. Pray with passion. Pray with positive expectation. Yes, in God's own way, in God's own time, the times, they are a-changing. And in the name of Jesus Christ, our King, that's not a threat, that's a promise.
Ain't gonna let nobody keep on a-talkin', marchin' up to freedom.